Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Philip Beatty, if you don't know me, from Hartford City Church, your sister congregation in the city of Hartford, and I bring you their greetings this morning. Jacob DeVal was preaching there for me this morning, so we're truly united in the family today. Amen. We are one family. It's almost familiar this morning. So I'm very happy and privileged to be back. When Peter asked me to come, I said I would, of course, love to come and help fill in while you are all being led by the wonderful Pastor Evan Burgess during this particular time. So I have to make a couple of observations. None of you look any older than when I left. I don't know how you do it. Well, a couple of you do, but we can talk about that later. But the rest of you, I do not know what happened. Again, for those of you who don't know my story, a little over 6.5 years ago, I went out to plant a new covenant church in Hartford, Connecticut, the first covenant church plant in Connecticut in 115 years. But prior to that, I was here as a youth pastor for 13 and a half years. So this morning I was thinking it was 20 years ago this October that I first set foot on the stage. And I just feel blessed and privileged to be back among you again. And I love it. I love it. So my assignment for today is to talk about Sabbath, like the video said. And Sabbath means rest. And I'm very eager to share this message with you because we all need rest. Can I get an amen? We all need a break. When Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened," I think every one of us would raise our hand, at least at some point in the last couple of years. But certainly, we feel that heaviness. We feel that weariness in all kinds of ways. And there are times when you just need to take a break. And that's what I'm here to tell you today. You just need to take a day off. You need to call in sick. I remember one time in high school, I played hooky. That's what we called it back in the day, playing hooky. And I wanted to go fishing with my friends. And so my two friends, James and Mike, we decided we were going to skip school that day and we were going to go fishing. I grew up in Colorado, and there's great places to fish in Colorado. So we were going to go down to south central Colorado, to the Arkansas River, which is the picture that you see, and we were going to do some fishing. I don't remember if it was actually the Arkansas or maybe one of the tributaries, because the Arkansas starts there in central Colorado, and we were going to go fishing for the day. Now, in Colorado, what you fish for is trout, like brown trout, rainbow trout, and everybody fly fishes, but I have a confession to make this morning. Don't tell anybody from Colorado, okay? If you're online, just delete this part. I never learned how to fly fish. I didn't, so we were just, you know, scrubby bait fishermen going down to the river, going to try to catch some trout, and so we went down, we got there, it was a beautiful day, it was warm and sunny, I remember, so it must have been like early fall or late spring, and we got there, and we're going to get out and go fishing, and we got out, the three of us, and the water was just beautiful, and we're like, this is going to be a great day of fishing. So we start to fish, and you know, you got to spread out a little bit, you know, so one of my friends went upstream, one went downstream, and I kind of stayed in the middle. And so we just started fishing. And as we're fishing, you know, we just got further and further apart till I was kind of left alone there fishing. And I fished for like 3, 4, maybe 5 hours in the morning and caught nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. And I'm like, man, I can't believe it. And I'm wondering, you know, if my friends are catching anything in the places they are. But I was determined I was going to stay right there because I knew there were some fish there. So, you know, I was getting hungry. It was lunchtime. I sit down, I pull out my ham and cheese sandwich, right, that I'd packed myself, my bag of Pringles, washed it down with some Mountain Dew. You know what I'm talking about, right, Doug? And I'm just sitting down there relaxing, and I'm like, oh, this is good. And I said, oh, I'm going to try it. Now I'm going to get some fish, right? Because now if I'm hungry, the fish must be hungry. Here we go. And in the middle of the river was this boulder, like in the boulder. And I thought to myself, if I get out to that boulder, then I can cast like all the way around, and then I'll catch some fish. So I took off my shoes and socks, and I waded out to the boulder, and I stood up on top, and I'm like fishing 360, right? I'm like, I'm going to get something. So one of these angles, I'm going to get it. For about another half hour, hour, nothing. And I was like, man, I was worn out. I was worn out from all that fishing and from that lunch that I just ate. You know, I was getting that afternoon sleepy time, right? And so I just sat down on the rock, and then pretty soon I laid down. Pretty soon I fell asleep. I didn't wake up until like 3 hours later when my friends are yelling at me from the side of the shore. Hey, Phil, what are you doing? I was like, what? I was just resting for a minute. I said, hey, did you guys catch any fish? They said, no, we caught nothing. They said, how about you? I said, I caught nothing but a good nap. And I recall it even to this day as one of the best days of my life, even though I caught no fish. Because sometimes when it's not working, sometimes when you're not getting the things that you expected to get, sometimes even though you're prepared and everything is perfect and the day is perfect, sometimes what we need to do is just sit down and rest. And I believe that is what God is calling us to do with Sabbath. In fact, this whole picture has kind of been a metaphor. I mean, church, you will ask, how the church is going? Well, it's going in Hartford. It's hard. I mean, maybe you need to know that every church is struggling during this pandemic and beyond, that every church is having issues, that it is very difficult, unprecedentedly difficult. I like the guy who said, I just thought we were getting back to precedented times, and then we don't seem to be able to get back to those yet. It's difficult, and I feel like we've been casting the net, and sometimes it feels like we just keep coming up empty. But I believe that God has been calling us, but really me, to just sit down and rest, to understand that we need to spend time with God. We need to be in his presence. So one of the things that's been very helpful to me the last several months is Psalm 23, that old psalm that we all memorize. You know, we kind of regulate it to children's time and when somebody passes away. But that psalm is so powerful. I've been praying that psalm, like making it a prayer 2 to 3 times a day for the last several months. And there's so much in that psalm, so much that I had forgotten about that I needed to remember. I mean, the very first phrase, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Imagine saying that and believing that right now in your life, in this time, in this season. I lack nothing. Imagine saying that as a church. I lack nothing. We lack nothing because the Lord is our shepherd. That's a whole nother sermon, and I'm actually starting this series on that. So watch Hartford City Church online for the next 4 weeks, and you can catch more of that. But the second part is what I want to focus on this morning, rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, or literally the waters of refreshing, the waters of rest, and he restores or refreshes my soul. That's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for us. It's the first thing that God provides is rest. If you follow the psalm, it's the first thing that happens. Before we get up and walk in the paths of righteousness, we need to rest. Before we bring glory to God's name, we need to rest. Before we walk through the darkest valleys that we can imagine, before we encounter our enemies and find that a feast has been prepared for us, before our head is anointed with oil, before our cup is overflowing, before we're in this experience of God's goodness and love chasing after us all of our life, we need to rest. It is the very first thing that God, as our shepherd, provides for his people. And this is the part I love. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He makes me, because we don't want to stop, right? We don't want to rest. We've got some kind of issues with taking a day off, don't we? And I know sometimes all y'all and me too, now in New England, we especially find that hard. That's why God sends you snow days, I'm telling you. Because otherwise you wouldn't stop working for nothing. And maybe God has us all in this time where it's like, you know what? We need to stop working. We need to rest, right? Because we've been forced to stop working or to work less or to work differently. Does that mean God caused it and it's all God? No, I don't believe that God sends us horrible things like the pandemic. But while God doesn't will it, he doesn't waste it. Hear that? God doesn't will it, but he doesn't waste it. For in the darkest, most horrible, difficult places, God will create a gift and bring it up out and give it to us. And the gift that God is giving to us is the gift of rest. The gift of rest. Why do we have such a hard time with it? Well, it's negative, right? Well, we're not producing anything. We're not doing anything. We got to keep going all the time. But it really betrays our pride and our lack of trust in God, does it not? Thinking that we have unlimited energy, right? Thinking that we have unlimited resources. Thinking that we can just go and go and go. But you can't do that, right? Everything runs out of energy and needs to be restored, needs to be refreshed, right? How many of you leave your car running all the time? Anybody? Do you drive away from here and you go home and you just leave that car running, right? And you go inside and you go to bed and the car's running all night and you get up in the morning, you get back in the car and the car's running, right? And you go to work and you park it and you leave your car running, right? Who would do that? It would be a waste of the precious resources and energy of that car. Yet each one of us will run and run and run and run without resting, thinking that somehow we were not created to rest. But we get tired, don't we? And we run out of gas. And we're weary and we're burdened and we're worn down and we're worn out. And God is like, I have everything you need. First of all, why don't you sit down and rest? Why don't you lay down on this rock in the river and take a nice, long, good nap. And let me refresh your soul. Let me speak to you. Let me give you life. For I know that God wants to restore us, right? Amen? But there's no restoration without rest. So let's go to the text this morning. The assigned text that Peter gave to me was from Matthew chapter 12. It's interesting, right at the end of chapter 11 is where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And then immediately the narrative goes into two stories about Jesus doing things on the Sabbath that teach us about the Sabbath, that teach us what God desires for Sabbath rest to be like. And unlike you, I've aged in 20 years, so here go the glasses. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, reading from the New International Version. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some of the heads of grain and eat them. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." And he answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do." Listen, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. "Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent?" Now, that's kind of a weird phrase, right? Basically, what he's saying is priests, pastors, we work on the Sabbath, right? So in a way, you could say that my preaching is desecrating the Sabbath because I'm working. Jesus, like, that wouldn't make sense, would it? No. "I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." First story. Second one. "Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?' He said to them, 'If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take a hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.' Then he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus." So Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. The first thing we learn from these stories is that with Jesus, it's about relationship and not rules. It's about being with Jesus and not rules. You see, the Pharisees wanted so bad to get after Jesus, to trap him, to say, "You're breaking the rules," because if he's breaking the rules, then that proves he's not really with God. If he's breaking the rules, God is not really on his side. But Jesus said, "Listen, I can break the rules because I make the rules." And when you're with the rule maker, then he shows you which rules are meant to be broken. And we're still in that today. Religion wants to say, "You need to follow these rules, because that's how we'll know if you're really following Jesus." And I believe that Jesus says, "No, it's not about that. It's never been about that. It's about what the video talked about, this presence of God, this seventh-day glorious infusion of God's presence in all of his creation." And Jesus said, "If you'll come to me, you'll find that kind of rest." And it's rest not only from rules and religion, it's rest from expectations, from the expectations others and we place upon ourselves. It's freedom from the performance standards that people put onto our life and say, "This is what you must do." Because when we do that, we think we have it all together, but they miss the fact that the God who created that in the first place was there. And when God is there, then you follow him. And if he tells you to break a rule, then you break a rule. But it's always for the greater purpose. We know this isn't just a free-for-all, right? It's not just, "Oh, go ahead and do whatever you want." They did what Jesus invited them to do. Jesus said, "You're hungry, pick some grain." Jesus said, "Someone's sick, you can heal them." That's what it means to follow Jesus, to follow his voice. It's never meant just do whatever we want to do. It's never meant that. So religion says, "Do what we tell you to do." And Jesus is like, "Okay, but there's something better. How about you do what I tell you to do? How about you live in communion and in my presence and with me?" So the first thing we learn is that it's not about the rules, it's about relationship, because God cares about us. In this same story in the book of Mark, it adds the phrase, Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for you, not you for the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made as a gift to bring you restoration, rejuvenation, inspiration, healing, salvation. That's what the Sabbath was made for you. I didn't create the Sabbath and then say, oh, you guys got to serve this, right? And in a way, shouldn't all of our structures be that way? Shouldn't they be to serve the people? Am I right? Shouldn't they be for the good of the people? In other words, whatever this church does, whatever any church does, shouldn't it be for the healing and salvation of all people? And if in any way it's damaging, then it's not from God. If it's damaging people, if it's damaging your soul, what good is it to gain the biggest, best church in the world and then lose your soul? You see, it's hard. We have a hard time resting because we have a hard time taking care of ourselves. And the next thing I noticed is that Jesus said on the Sabbath, you can eat. You can take care of yourself. You can feed yourself with what God has provided for you. So it's okay to take care of yourself. But we get a little crazy, right? Oh, that's selfish, that's self-centered. I don't know about that. Let me try to put it to you this way. Does God care about you? Does God care about your body? He says your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit, that you should take care of it. Does God not want you to take care of your body? Does God care about your mind? He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Doesn't God care about your mind? Doesn't God care about your spirit? He says, I don't want you to live with sin gripping your heart. I want you to be set free from sin and have salvation and freedom. Doesn't he care about your spirit? Doesn't he care about your soul? Doesn't he care about your emotions? Because if you're emotionally unhealthy, you will not be able to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. You can't be loving and joyful and have peace and patience if you're emotionally unhealthy. That's why one of the most important things right now in the body of Christ is that we learn that emotional health is important because it's important to God. And if God cares about your mind, your body, your heart, your soul, and your spirit, then shouldn't you? Or is it our pride, like I say, that false pride that gets in the way? Isn't that weird? So I don't want to be selfish, so I'll selfishly try to do it all myself and ignore my own needs. Right. God says it's okay to take care of yourself on the Sabbath because I want to take care of you. So it's allowing Jesus to take care of us, right? It's allowing Jesus to be the one. It's so important for those who care for others to understand they need to tend their own soul and be cared for as well. That's why I'm so glad your pastors are away right now, on vacation and on sabbatical, because they need that. Your shepherds need rest. They need that rest because you can't care for others when you won't care for yourself. You can't give to others when you're running on empty all the time. You have to have something to give away. It's important to do that. And then the best gift that you all can give to your pastors is to be emotionally healthy people. Can I get an amen? As you take care of yourself, you will be able to take care of others, right? Because it's intertwined, all right? So hang with me. I hope you're still with me, right? The next part is Jesus heals on the Sabbath. So it's also right to do good to others on the Sabbath and to participate in their healing. For there's a unity in God's command to love. Love God, love others, love yourself. How can you love others very well if you don't love yourself very well? And if you don't love others very well, how can you love God very well? It's all tied in together. A friend of mine put it this way, you can't do for others what you won't do for yourself. And God wants to heal us in the deepest part of who we are. This has been the story of my life, really, for the last year and a half since the pandemic started, is that every year we pick a theme for the year, and our theme for 2021 was a time to heal. And I believe God has clearly spoken to me that I need to heal first before I can participate in the healing of others. You know, it's a worn-out illustration, but it's still true. When you're on a plane, they tell you to put your own mask on first before you can help someone else. And so many of us are out of breath, we're out of energy, we're out of time, we're out of patience, right? Let's just do a check on our emotional health, right? Do we find ourselves frustrated and angry and irritated and impatient a lot in this season? Don't raise your hand. Do I find myself fearful and anxious? Have I sensed a lack of true joy and trust in God? When we don't rest, when we don't Sabbath, it betrays our own pride, but it also betrays a lack of trust in God, right? Because the whole point of Sabbath was trust, that what I've given you for 6 days is enough. They're in the wilderness. They got to eat the manna every day. They got to pick it up every day, right? And he said, on the seventh day, don't go out and pick it up. And they're in the desert. And they're like, but we might starve today if we don't pick up that food. Well, you're supposed to pick up enough for 2 days on Friday. And all those were teenagers said, we done shopped for a week and the food is still gone. Come on, God, how are we going to make it? And God says, trust me, trust me, trust me. If you're working every day of the week, are you trusting God for the work that you're doing? Are you? It betrays our own selfishness, our own lack of trust when we don't Sabbath, when we don't rest. We need to take care of ourselves so that we can take care of others. And here's the thing I was thinking about. When we take care of others, it's the proof that our self-care wasn't selfish. Let me say that again. When we can be better for the other people in our lives, it proves that our self-care wasn't selfish. Because your kids need you to be emotionally healthy if you're going to participate in their healing. Your aging parents need you to be emotionally healthy when they're reverting back to some kind of immaturity that you never imagined your aging parents would go back to. If you're getting frustrated and irritated with the people that you work with, they need you to be emotionally healthy if you're going to participate in their healing. So remember, friends, the Sabbath rest is not about rules, but it's about a relationship with Christ, with ourselves, and with others. On the Sabbath, it is right and good to take care of ourselves and to also participate in the healing of other people. This is the invitation of Christ. It's the invitation to live life with Him, to slow down, to move at the pace of the Spirit. I love what it says in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus tells the disciples, come away with me by yourselves and get some rest. Come away with me by yourselves and get some rest. Friends, I believe God is saying that to us in this world right now, and He's saying it to you today. He's saying, my son, my daughter, come away with me by yourself and get some rest. Are we going to respond to that invitation today? Are we going to say, you know what, God, I'm going to stop just trying to do it all myself. I'm going to trust that it's not selfish because I'm with you. I'm following your voice. And I'm going to trust that if I take care of my own soul, that I'm going to be able to better participate in the healing of other people. And then I'll know I'm in this flow of loving you and loving others as I love myself. So how can we do that? Just a couple of suggestions. I believe there's no substitute for silence and solitude. I used to think when I was younger that that was a nice option if people had the time for it, but I don't know how I can ever hear God if I don't get into a place of silence. I don't know how I can ever attend to my own soul with God if I don't get away from everything. So for me, that means there's got to be times when I'm not connected. You know, there's got to be times when I shut off the phone. There's got to be times when I stop collecting data, right? I love that picture. One of my pastor friends preaching on Sabbath this summer said, you know, we're like the children of Israel in the wilderness, except instead of collecting manna every day, we collect information, right? On our phones, email. We're data collecting, right? All day long, and we do it every day. And what if you said to yourself, you know what? I don't need to check my emails. I don't need to go on social media. I don't need to watch the news, because whatever happens in the world, God's got it. And I'll get all the information I need the next day. It'll be all right. And you know what? If you can't do a whole day, start with something. Something's better than nothing. You got to ask yourself, am I working every day? Or am I going out every night? Do I feel like I'm constantly running? Isn't it interesting? Someone observed 60 years ago about our culture. They said, all these technological advances you have, all of these time-saving machines haven't saved you any time because you're still too busy. So silence and solitude, unplugging, disconnecting. One way I've been trying to do it is just in my prayer times each day, leaving just 5 minutes for silence. By silence, I mean trying to just let my mind be cleared, not trying to listen. What are you saying to me, God? What are you saying? But just simply be aware of my breathing, be aware of my surroundings, be aware of the presence of God without me, you know, trying to have my mind running a mile a minute, which it always seems to do. Just little times of silence, of solitude. Of course, do what takes care of your soul. Do what feeds your soul. And again, this is not a free-for-all, because God has already provided for you a way, and Jesus will reveal that way. So just follow the voice of Jesus and take care of yourself. for God's sake, for your sake, for your family's sake, for your pastor's sake, for Pastor Peter and Pastor Austin's sake, please feed your own soul. Please. Please take care of yourself, because you will be better in participating in the healing of others, and you'll be closer to God. There's no restoration without rest, silence and solitude. Take time to feed your own soul. And then finally, participate in the healing of others. Participate in the healing of others. Do good, right? You need to be alone some of the time, but not all of the time. So mark that down. You need to be alone some of the time, but not all of the time. So again, re-engage and participate in the healing of other people. But when you do it from a place of rest and refreshment from God, then, oh, friends, like the psalm says, I can walk through the darkest valley. I can face my enemies. I can walk in the paths of righteousness even better, because I've learned how to rest with the shepherd, my savior, the healer of my soul. Remember that story towards the end of the Gospel of John when the disciples decided to go out fishing after Jesus had been crucified and risen, and they go out fishing all night, and like I was back in that Arkansas River, they caught nothing. They caught nothing all night, and Jesus stands there on the shore in the morning, and he says, "Hey, what have you caught?" Just like my friends did. They're like, "Nothing." He's like, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat." I'm sure they shook their head. I'm like, "All right, whatever you say, dude." And they threw it on the right side, and the net was so full of fish, they couldn't even bring it up. And we get stuck on that part, like, ooh, that's so exciting. But then John says, "Dudes, it's Jesus." Sorry, loose translation. "It's Jesus, look." And it says, Peter puts on his outer garment, which he had taken off, jumps in the water, and it doesn't say he swam. So my little mind says, maybe he ran. He finally learned how to walk on water. I don't know. But he got to the shore somehow, some way, to be with Jesus. And what did Jesus do there? Jesus already had fish there. And he had already cooked it for them. And he had already said, "Hey, I want to have breakfast with you." Friends, sometimes it's not about how many fish we catch, but it's about having breakfast with Jesus. God bless you.